Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, kicking and long snapping trainers, Chris Rubio and Chris Saylor. With Gina Grad on news and a new Eat Your Feelings recipe, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit from Vinny Tortorich. And now, Fearless Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We appreciate it. Going into our 10th year, next week we'll have the ACE Awards will be given out, a tradition that we look forward to around here. And also a final unveiling of Women Most Disgusted to Have Sex with Adam list, the 2018 edition. You have to keep it updated.
Yeah.
Votes are in.
Votes are in. Gina Grad, good day.
Good day.
And Bald Brian. Vinny's Vinny. And Vinny Tortorich, who's got his undies in a bunch because there's a new article out talking about red meat being bad for your heart. And so he's going to trade some blows with some professors in a moment. I want to thank Quicken Loans at rocketmortgage.com/Adam for this half of the show. Bespoke Post, boxofawesome.com, enter Adam. Castrol Challenge, you can tweet us your questions. And Simply Safe as well. And I'll get you all that. We'll do a holiday version of Eat Your Feelings, and Vinny will give us some tips. I was at a sort of holiday-ish party last night, and, you know, they just put the spread out, and it's all delectable, and you just basically grab the beef, jump over the noodles, and grab the veggies, and go sit down. Mm-hmm. That's about all I can make of it. At this point, and at that point, order a vodka and soda with a lemon twist, and not a tall boy beer.
Right.
That's sort of the.
But did you hate
basic...
that? Were you upset by that?
No, you know
that you hurtled right over.
The beef was delectable at this party, and or event or whatever it was called, and it was totally satisfying. I enjoyed the bejesus out of it. And again, I enjoyed the vodka soda as well. Like, it's not a big
it's doable.
It's doable. It doesn't feel like punishment.
You're not lacking anything,
right?
Meat and cheese platter and vodka soda. You're
a nice cocktail.
Oh. Yep. Jimmy already sent me over a new grill for
to upgrade your rig.
Well, that was upgrade nice. My rig.
He's providing it. That's nice. I thought it was an order. You go get a grill.
Well, the wonderment of Jimmy is, and I keep telling people this. This party I was at last night, it was a bunch of friends and his friends and people, blah blah blah. Blah. It's all a bunch of people that love Jimmy, and Jimmy just keeps getting richer because everyone loves him and wants to do stuff with him and wants to work with him, this and the other. But the beauty of Jimmy is a week and a half ago when he was at the shop on Football Sunday hanging out, when he was leaving, he said two things. So I said, okay, so I guess we'll see you over here doing some cooking for Super Bowl Sunday, huh? And he said, yeah. And I said, what are you bringing? And he said, what do you want? Which is this first answer.
It's nice.
It's nice. And then the second one, he paused and said, yeah, I'm going to need a better grill rig than last year. And I said, yeah, tell me which one to get. And I'll make sure it's ready for you. Right. And then 4 days later, a grill rig showed up.
Wow,
that's
and an invoice.
So how do you become friends with this Jimmy you speak of? Because
you go back to 1992.
Yeah. Oh man, I totally missed out that year.
So if you want to know how to get along in life, help out everyone around you, be of service, mm-hmm. and it's weird. We call that karma. It's not really karma. It's more business. Mm-hmm. Be of service to people all the time, and they'll constantly want you around. With them, around them, and in their circle. And the next thing you know, you'll get rich. It's weird. We look at it as karma, like you did something nice for them, and now they're doing the world is doing something nice for you. It's much more business than it is karma.
It's good math.
Well, it's kind of the lesson. It's the golden rules, the one we all teach kids. It's like, it'd be nice to someone, and maybe it'll pay out. No, but be nice to someone, and then nice things will happen to you. You know, treat others like you want to be treated.
I was doing, in long relationships.
I mean, there's a benefit. That's nice, but that's an ancillary benefit. You know, it's just you fill your life with good relationships, and good things happen.
Yeah. And also, you know, making sure the right people are being able to spot the right people. So it was interesting. So I was doing a take a knee earlier today, and I was speaking to, oh God, how do I say her last name? I'll figure it out. Anyway, we'll put it on my screen.
Coulter.
Allison Maslin.
Yes, and she's a business person, blah, blah, blah. And there's this Aristotle. Onassis, Greek tycoon, married to Kennedy,
Jackie,
and blah, blah, blah. And a kajillionaire. And they said, what would you do if we took it all away? Just took it all away. How would you do it tomorrow? So this guy was one of those great businessmen and shipping guys and blah, 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 made a kajillion dollars. And I guess they made a movie called The Greek Tycoon. It was about him and Jackie Onassis and blah, blah, blah. I think it even starred, like, is it Jacqueline Bisset or was it Kate? Charlie's Angels. Anyway, they said, "What would you do to get it back, or how would you start?" Mm-hmm. He said, "I'd work three jobs. I'd make $500. I don't know, in 1961 days or something. I'd make $500, and I'd go out to eat." And your first blush is sort of like, you just spend $500 on the most lavish meal you could find? He said, no, I would sit at a table with people that could spend $500 on a meal, and then I would get at that table, and that would immediately get me back where I needed to be. Yeah. And I said, right. The guys I went to high school with would get to that table and then figure out how much free shit they could get from the rich guy, and that would do them no good. Mm-hmm. That might help them momentarily. Like, they might get a shrimp cocktail out of the deal.
I ordered two desserts.
But it's not going to be a big picture plan. Right. He would get at that table filled with guys who could afford a $500 mm-hmm. dinner, and he would start making himself of service to them.
Adam, that's so true. You know, back in the 80s when I was still living in New Orleans and training people there.
Put up the picture.
That came in the 90s. Uh-huh. These people took me to Aspen for the summer to train them in Aspen. And when I got there, I was sitting at that table with these $500, quote unquote, $500 people, right? And before I knew it, they wanted me to take them hiking every day, take them up 14,000 foot peaks. I'm a kid from swampland, and they looked at me as an outdoor guy and the whole thing. By the time I got back home, I was getting invites all over the place, private jets and the whole thing. And my family said, "How did you do that?" And I said, "Because I never asked them for anything.
Right.
I never did anything except be jovial, take them up 14,000 foot peaks, laugh with them. They would take me out to dinner. Next thing you know, they're flying me out." That's how I found LA. Someone brought me out here.
Well, think about what celebrities hate. Celebrity hate being bothered for celebrity, or that feeling of someone's just nuzzling up to them because of their celebrity and whatever it is. So they end up hanging around with each other.
Right.
which is part of it. You think, oh, they're star fuckers and the celebrities are star fuckers. And there's this weird sort of human centipede thing going on. Nice. It's medically accurate.
100% medically
accurate. 100% medically accurate. But really, it's that they don't want to be bothered by people that may or may not want shit from them, and they'll never know or they'll soon find out.
Yeah.
Being rich is the same thing. Being rich and powerful is the same thing. You're just a celebrity who has a face that people don't recognize, but still, it's people coming at you all the time. Mm-hmm. And not only so you repel those people eventually, but it's so refreshing when someone's just sitting at the table and not asking for something that they become insanely attractive to the people that are used to repelling this. Like every once in a while, Gina Grad, like if you hooked up with an ass man.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, leave the poncho on, baby. I'm going to town downstairs.
Take me.
Yeah, it's so refreshing, right?
Very.
Refreshing.
Like a cool drink of water.
That's right.
Unicorn.
And you know what? I know you're kidding. I know you think you're kidding, but I've had that line used on me so many times. You know, I'm not even really into boobs. Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you have that long shirt and breasts? I noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So.
So use that move if you want to date Gina.
Use that move if you want to date Gina. And we want Vinny to take you on a hike through Aspen. Invite him to your chalet. I was laughing because inappropriate music. You know my feeling. My feeling is when I'm getting my colonoscopy and I'm hearing Ricky Martin pumped in and he's living La Vida Loca. It feels weirdly inappropriate. Yeah. And because of my hypervigilance, I am forced to like hear the lyrics of this about dancing all night and dancing in the rain and taking my clothes off. And I'm thinking about just having a router put up my ass in a half hour and it's not working well for me.
Nothing says taking it up the ass.
Oh. Yeah, that was... That was 3 months ago, and that was pumping into the lobby of the colonoscopy center.
Make room for the hook.
Bullet to your brain. All right, so my take is, look, people, we're running businesses. Can we just pipe in some fucking classical and get on with our lives? You're not going to get a lot of angry letters if you just pump in classical music to your place of business. Why... Here's what I'm saying. Like, why are we making a call? Mm-hmm. You have elderly folks, middle-aged folks, folks from all over nations and all different whatever. Just put in the classical and we'll get on with our lives. It's like a placeholder. Right. No one's going to say anything.
As long as it's an option that will go anywhere from pleasing to inoffensive. The classical music will cover all manner of...
Able to ignore.
I used to work painting commercial office buildings for lawyers. A guy named Paul Feigen, who... Mark Garagus knows, sort of legend in the business and blah, 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 weird guy. But he pioneered this thing of lawyer suites where they had a law library, they had a receptionist, and they would all share different offices. And they'd take a whole floor in Century City, and he built out these like lawyer suites.
Like a WeWork kind of place.
Yeah, back in the 80s, well, why should one firm pay for the law library or one firm pay for the reception? They'll have all the firms pay, and it was smart. I was in charge of going in with Andy, the Jehovah's Witness, and painting all the offices when one lawyer moved out and another lawyer moved in. We painted all of the offices Navajo white, which was an offy kind of beigey white, because we had no idea who was moving in. We weren't going to go with deep purple velvet, and we weren't going to go with midnight sun or something. You know, we didn't go with orange.
Right.
We didn't go anything. We just went with this Mustang white.
Right.
With 2 million gallons of Mustang white because it's that no one would have anything. There's no lawyer that could object to it. You could walk in and go, that's not my favorite color. Object. That's not my favorite color, but who cares? Put your desk over there and get going. That's what classical music is into the waiting room, people. So I'm...
it's the eggshell of paint colors.
Right. I am... Don't get me started on eggshell, because eggshell's a texture and a color now, and I've had 2,000 discussion. Yes, it's flat, it's eggshell, it's semi-gloss, it's gloss.
It's a shade of what? Yeah,
bone, eggshell, anything
comes,
from American Psycho.
Here comes the confusion part at the Home Depot, which is... get the Swiss coffee
in an
eggshell. Uh-huh. And then they go, what color eggshell? And it's okay. Okay. I'm sitting. I'm going in to think about oral surgery, and I'm sitting in the in that office, the loneliest office, the one where they sit you down. And, you know, first thing they'll do is they throw up, like, the X-ray, and then the person who throws it up looks at it and makes a grunt. And then they walk out, and they go, Hilt, this guy's going to be in here in a minute. And then you just sit there and live like, I should check out this X-ray. What am I missing here? You just sit there in that room waiting for the guy to come in to look at the X-ray, and he's going to make a little face, too, like, Yeah. So you sit there, and the music that's being pumped into this place... You can start with the one at the top.
I'm sorry, I wasn't given it. It may reorder. I got all the songs, but you may have to.
I can see it.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Yep.
And there's a part of me that's thinking. I do like this song.
I'm psyched up now.
I do like this song, but I'm also not sure what I want to do. Like, you hold up a manila folder and I'll start punching it. Or you go get... Oh, I'll tell you what. You go get the lead vest that I had on when I got the X-rays and throw me in the pool. And I'll have to try to tread water with that lead vest on.
Medicine ball to your stomach.
Medicine ball, but with actual medicine in it.
Dentist comes back. You're chasing a chicken around the room.
Actually, Brian, give me the bottom one if you can spot that.
Because I feel like Survivor, that's a good one. Eye of the Tiger. Oh, no.
Come on.
Now, who has the lyrics to this, Max Zapata?
Because, what do you want to know?
Well, if you just read those lyrics, Gina Grad.
Yep. Revving up your engine. Listen to her howl and roar.
Now, I'm just sitting there waiting to be consulted on oral surgery.
Oh, begging you to touch and go. Highway to the danger zone.
Now, again, the danger zone, you know, anytime you're put under general anesthetic, there's a chance you don't come back to. It's highway to the danger zone, right into the danger zone, heading into twilight, spreading out her wings.
She got you jumping off the deck and shoving into overdrive. It gets worse. The bridge gets worse.
Highway to the danger zone. Take you right into the danger zone. And I'm just sitting there thinking about oral surgery and how it meshes with the danger zone.
You're about to be put under, and he's getting you hyped up.
All right, you can stop. Look, I'm just saying, everybody. Oh, okay.
You don't want a red line.
Can we agree on this? Can we agree on this? Let me just say this. If you run a mortuary or you run a roller boogie roller skating rink. Can we agree that there might be some differences in music selection
between
those two businesses?
Yeah,
yes, we can.
Absolutely.
Brian, if you signed off on that.
I'm on board.
Okay. So if, in fact, we've now safely established that there are different types of music that we could play in different types of business with the roller boogie place versus the mortuary, don't all businesses sort of land between those two musically? And couldn't we then sort of, based on the fact that we've decided that there should be a difference in music that is pumped into businesses, then select the correct music for our business? Yes?
Agreed.
It seems easy.
Yes. And let me say this as well. Most of the answers to these questions are, the girls up front like it. Mm-hmm. They love Ricky Martin. Okay, but I'm sure they like many things. They may like masturbating in the tub, or they may enjoy eating Bugles all day long, or watching Real Housewives. Guess what work is about?
the customer's always annoyed.
Sort of doing things that you don't normally do at home. You don't listen to Chopin at home or Beethoven at home, but now we're here.
But you do get a paycheck.
Yeah, but guess what? Guys who stack pallets with forklifts don't go home and stack pallets with forklifts.
No.
We can't do it based on what you like. You're here.
Right.
Working.
Yeah.
I would also argue that a little classical music might help round out your game a little bit. So Seeing how I know the girls in front, the ones with the GEDs
big
that are 23,
big Survivor fans.
Those ones picked out some. Well, yeah,
I know.
The one at the colonoscopy center, that was the girls up front. They picked out the stuff up front. That was the young, fun stuff. Then the ones in back picked out their own stuff. But I would argue the people that are going in that are either getting a plumber snake put up their ass or having a guy with their Ryobi drill into their jawbone, let's think about them.
Let's
think about them.
Yeah.
Widen your scope.
A little concerned.
Let's think about them. Let's think about, like, for us, putting plumber snakes up people's asses or drilling into people's jawbones with Forstner bits is what we do all day. But for them, there could be some other emotional aspects to this, a little anxiety and something. So why don't we sort of curtail whatever it is we're doing toward them?
Makes sense.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a weird one that I've had to try to figure out for businesses. And look, everyone makes fun of elevator music. I'll fucking blow a guy if you pump in some elevator music now. I will blow your ass for some elevator music. We're at
music.
That point.
Elevator
now,
music. Stat.
Other than Ricky Martin. So the songs I wrote down. Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh, come on. Don't get mad at that.
But I was playing when I walked in.
Careful. Gina and I share a love of this song.
A real deep one.
But when confronted with oral surgery.
Yeah. This might set the wrong tone.
Not as bad as Danger Zone, though, right?
Well, once you're on the anesthetic.
No, Danger Zone was really super specific about entering this place that you may not come back from. This was just inappropriate from a tone. This was tone deaf. Okay, and I find it problematic. Oh, I should tell them it was tone deaf and I find it problematic. Yeah. And then they'd have to do everything. And then I could get them all fired.
Right.
I'll get everyone fired. I'll just announce that it's tone deaf and problematic. And then they're all fired.
Yeah.
They had a heart song on there, which I kind of like, but it was also another weird.
I do like the song, too.
I like it, too. It may even be a tool, too.
You cannot be mad about this song. This is Ann and Nancy. Come on.
This is wrong environment.
Other than the band Chicago, Bald Brian,
let's hear it.
And members of Chicago, who went from rock and roll, you know, Barracuda and Crazy on You, to full-time Tool tune? Other than Heart.
Okay, the only other
Chicago is... Heart went from rock and roll to full-time Tool tunes. And Journey, but Chicago kind of did that, too. Like, I'd like to get the Mount Rushmore of those bands.
The whole upshot of the Peter Cetera thing.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
When they were still, you know, Chicago Transit Authority, they were kicking ass with the horn, right?
I have contenders. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Peter Cetera, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, he screwed the group.
Chicago's the GOAT. They're the greatest of all time in this category. Underrated, ZZ Top went from a very, you know, rock and roll band to a very polished 80s slick, you know, legs and all that stuff.
What about the Jefferson?
Not as big a chasm, though.
Jefferson?
I heard Starships, it on, Airplanes.
Yeah, that's a good Aerosmith. I heard it on the X. Is that their song?
Yeah, that's ZZ Top.
That's ZZ Top's best song, if you want some old ZZ Top.
So if you want to say it like their classic rock DJs could do, it's double ZTOP.
How did we miss that?
Journey,
all the years
they played a Journey song, too, by the way. Which, yes, these are the songs I was able to write down while I was thinking about my misery.
The worst Journey song. The fake, the air piano Journey song.
And by the way, I don't hate Journey, but not this.
Have you seen this video?
I'm waiting for oral surgery. like this is playing. This is playing, and the guy's going.
This is stressful.
We remove the infected tooth, and then the very ominous one. We got to clean out the infection because it's eating the bone.
Meanwhile, pulsating.
Then we get some. What we do is we draw plasma, and we get bone, powdered bone from a cadaver.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll go ahead and graft that onto the bone that's already been compromised.
Have you had this done?
I. This is the consult that I'm having while this music is playing. He's talking about cadavers and bone that's been put in a mortar and pestle. But don't worry, we add some of your own vital blood to it. We make it into a paste, and then we'll sew that onto the thing. And it's like, He's like, all right, so you understand the insurance and how. Then there's a six-month healing process, and then we take the titanium post, and then we go ahead and put a tap and dye into the bone. Once the bone, of course, has been repaired with the cadaver powder, and then, and this is fucking pumping above me.
This sucks.
And it's weird. It's just weird. Why am I the only... Why doesn't everyone say it's weird?
It also has a staccato beat where it's like it's pulsating.
It's
and it
stressful.
Makes you nervous.
I'm sitting across from a 56-year-old guy in a lab coat, and we're talking about touching and going our separate ways.
You and your jawbone are going your separate ways.
Dawson's nomination of Aerosmith is a close second to Chicago in terms
yes.
of used to rock.
Yes.
By the way, Adam,
contemporary.
Yes,
you can ask Serena about this at the Christmas party next week. She's going through this right now. That's why I asked I said, there's no way you had it, because now she just had the cadaver part put in, and she looked like Brando from Godfather 1.
Mm. Yeah.
She has a haunted tooth.
She's finally starting to look
looking forward
normal.
Or we could just play classical music. All right, yes.
Not rock and roll per se, but in terms of making that journey from one type of music to like
literally.
Genesis.
Oh,
Genesis went from like prog rock to poppy stuff ever.
Agreed. And nobody say, oh, well, that was Phil Collins breaking off. I'm counting that.
I'm counting Invisible Touch and all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm counting. And I'm counting Phil Collins breaking off and doing Groovy Kind of Love or whatever stupid, like worst remake ever kind of stuff. Just like we're going with Chicago. All right. Vinny, let me tease what you got. Somebody wrote an article that has upset you.
Yeah, you know, Chris brought it to my attention this morning, Cleveland Clinic, you know, so we'll talk about that whenever you want to talk about it. But it really...
The gist of it.
The gist of it is, meat, if you look at it sideways, it will stop your heart by noon tomorrow.
All right, and let's just talk about that. First, I'll tell you about something that's near and dear to my heart. Bespoke Post. Selflessness is in this holiday season. Why buy someone an ugly sweater or your uncle... Why don't you get them a nice box of awesome? Do it for them, man. Do it for yourself, too. Bespoke Post box of awesome. My favorite way to treat myself monthly. I have a couple of my favorites in front of me. I'll tell you about that in a second. Just received some incredible audio gear. I got the wireless speaker in front of me that sounds crystal clear.
That thing's awesome for traveling. I have a little one just like that, and that's great for when you travel, tossing your backpack, tossing your thing, whatever.
And also the headphones as well. Studio headphones, beautiful. And you can visit boxofawesome.com. Answer a few quick questions. Find what fits you. First of each month... You'll get an email with details, and if you're not feeling that month's box, you just skip it. Each box is under $50 and has more than $70 worth of unique gear. Barrel aging kits, limited edition cigars, weekender bags, so much good stuff, all top shelf, all high quality. Bespoke Post, essential goods for the modern man. And again, it's the holidays. Get it for yourself. Get it for a friend. And it just keeps going. It's the gift that keeps giving. Right, Dawson?
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter Adam at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Code Adam for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post. Themed boxes for guys that give a damn.
Get that gift, people. All right. What do we got? The article.
Yeah. Chris sent this morning, and it says, study reducing red meat intake can improve heart health. And then I went through the article, and they're trying to scare you 20 different ways against even looking at red meat. And usually what I do when I walk in here and what I do on my own podcast is I'll go, okay, Cleveland Clinic, I'm moving on. There are three universities where you can move on. Harvard, where they have a vegan and they're taking money from Unilever. There's Cleveland Clinic and there's Minnesota University, which is where Ansel Keys went. So any of these universities are trying to save face and saying that their vegan ways are the way to go. And I know I always sound like a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not. So when I was driving here and I said, I'm not going to just walk in and say, oh, Cleveland Clinic, dismiss it, you know. So I went and looked into it. I read the rest of the article. They're stating that a substance called TMAO is what's causing – could literally stop your heart before noon tomorrow is the way they were putting it. TMAO is trimethylamine in oxide. And this stuff is found in greater numbers than in red meat, in soybeans, potatoes, pineapples, peanuts, cauliflower, which we love, and carrots. And so I looked at this and went, well, what the hell? And they said you can have fish. So I went, let me see how much of this TMAO is in fish. It actually has, fish has more, way more than red meat and way more than anything else on the list, with 1.7 grams per pound of fish. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, none of this is making sense. People are going to read this. I'm going to be tweeted this for the next 3 days, and the vegans are going to win again. So I wanted to get an expert on the phone. I called Nina Teicholz, who wrote the book Big Fat Surprise, which is a mega hit. Nina just, she knows every study inside and out and how it works. I called her. I said, Nina, TMAO. She goes, oh, it can actually reverse heart disease. It can stop a heart attack in its tracks if, in fact, you are getting a heart attack. So it's exactly the opposite. The headline and what you're reading in that article is exactly the opposite of the truth. And that's what drives me nuts. And the doctor who did this study, I want to bring his name up because I hate this asshole, Stanley Hazen, Dr. Stanley Hazen from the Cleveland Clinic. And by the way, he didn't even get this published in America. He had to go to Europe to get this published. It's almost like going to school in Mexico or something to get a degree. You know, it just doesn't make sense. None of it made sense to me.
What? Quick question.
Sure.
I think a lot of people don't understand this about our society we're currently living in. You know, we understand when they're writing stories about the president and things like that, these things are politicized, but they don't realize that almost everything is politicized. Okay. So when they do some sort of environmental thing or some food thing or something, they all have a sort of political motor behind it, and it's steering it in the direction of the policies that they'd like enacted. Right. So I don't think generally people have that thought. They think, I'm going to read about nutrition. This is an article about nutrition. Who cares what side of the aisle the person's on? This person's a scientist, and they're going to give us data on this information. Almost everything has some sort of policy thing behind it or political push behind it. And that's, unfortunately, what we need to start looking into. Who wrote it? Who's paying for it? Where do they? Who do they work for? And what's behind it? We do understand the R.J. Reynolds tobacco version of this. We understood the 80s version of these guys are cigarette companies and they're going to hire their own scientists and they're going to pay. Mm-hmm. So who paid for the study? Right. Oh, I see. Big Tobacco paid for the study. Now we got an issue. There's a version of that now for everything. And even the fluffy feel-good shit has something behind it as well.
Adam, it's so rampant that when I was doing my documentary, we finished at 3:30 in the morning two nights ago, me and Peter Pardini. And this thing will blow the lid off of all of this. As a matter of fact, we had so much incredible interviews there that we're now going to try to do a docuseries. We could do at least 10 more shows on the stuff we had left over because we were trying to keep this thing to 90 minutes. We could have made a six-hour documentary just to show what Harvard's doing, what Walter Willett at Harvard's doing, and the money he's taken from Unilever, and where Sysco Foods fits into all this, and the billions of dollars that's spent on keeping us eating stuff that's going to kill us. And then the offshoots from that is the drug industries, which they don't want to see anyone get better. If people just lower the amount of carbohydrates, to give you an example, that they're eating, if they had type 1 diabetes, that's juvenile diabetes, that's the one you cannot control, that's the one you're born with, right? You can actually cut your diabetes, your insulin down by two-thirds. Now, how do you think the insulin guys are going to feel about that if everybody could cut it down by two-thirds? Their stock would go down. The politicians would not be happy. The money wouldn't be there. You can solve a problem, but it's not in anyone's best interest who's making money right now.
It is. It's criminal. And I say criminal because everything you know is just sort of in front of your face. Like, you'll know it. You'll feel it. You know, Dr. Drew comes in here. Everyone I know, drop the carbs, drop the weight, energy goes up, feel better. We all get it. It happens universally, immediately to everybody.
Right.
So already you go, well, how could something that is causing me this kind of active weight loss and this energy gain and everything else,
How come it, what do you mean it's bad for me? You know, when so much good comes immediately from it. Dr. Drew's been sitting next to me for the last year. He's on a full meat. He came in here just eating a yak. Like, he literally, he's such an asshole. He comes in here with like a bucket of a bacon and he just starts eating in front of me. Because the thing that's so funny about Drew is when you say to him, don't eat pasta, eat beef, he goes, okay. He thinks his order was to eat beef in nothing front of fun. You all day, every day. Right. It's like, no, when you do lunch, eat beef and not pasta, not all day.
Right.
So he said he's never felt better. He's never been in better shape. His energy's never been better. And because he has a family history of like high cholesterol and stuff like that, he gets himself checked constantly right. to see what this is doing mm-hmm. to his cholesterol, and it's going down. Mm. So we see it in front of us. I heard a study, or not even a study, but just a fact the other day, that the average man weighs 195 pounds, which I was like, okay, I weigh 195 pounds. The average woman, 168. That is heavy. That is not what women weighed a few years ago. Mm-hmm. 168, and I don't know what the chasm is between men and women, but I feel like it's shrinking.
It's closing down.
If you're getting... it's 168 and change. I mean, so women women are walking around knocking on the door of 170 pounds. 170 pounds, when I was in high school, that's what a guard on the varsity football team weighed if you were scrappy enough. This is not a good sign. And you want to talk about long-term health issues and repercussions in a fucking world where it's clicking or ticking and third hand smoke nonstop. This isn't something we want to get on just a little bit.
Oh, we're so screwed already. And by the way, I want to go back to Dr. Drew for a second.
Average woman height, 5'4", basically 170.
Wow.
That's morbid obesity.
That's morbid obesity.
That's morbid obesity.
Well, where's the mayor? Where's the governor? Where's the president? Where's the politicians? Where is the discussion
on
this?
We cover that in the movie, too. But I want to make a point about Dr. Drew. When I came in here with you and Drew about 3.5 years ago, Drew was not really on board. He was kind of looking out of the corner of his eyes going, I don't know, maybe it's a little too much. Maybe. And then to Drew's credit, he studied up. He kept asking questions. He kept studying. He kept looking into it. Drew is a hero in my movie. Wait till you see this. The guy has done a complete 180 on everything
I'm
he thinks about
now.
Me.
Yeah. I was in
no longer
for a while.
I was looking forward to it, but no, yeah, well, Drew did what everyone should do with every subject, which is my training and my instincts and my history say bad idea.
Right.
But Vinny is telling me to do it and to look into it, and I won't go talk to the hand or I know what I know, which is everyone's default setting, or you're not the boss of me. They go, okay, I shall investigate, and then I will find out information, and it turns out I was wrong, and I bettered myself for it.
Right.
I don't know why more people just don't have that sort of resting state of, why is it all I know what I know, or I know what's in my heart, or you're not the boss of me? Why aren't people like Dr. Drew go, all right, let me check it out.
And especially when you have nothing to show for it.
Right. All right. So when is the movie coming out?
We don't know. We finished it. We still need to get distribution. We're actually talking to people at some of the bigger studios right now, the Netflixes and the Amazons of the world and the whole thing. And I have an attorney on board. So we're looking at everything.
We're going to do some eat your feelings. Sheena's going to scuttle out and warm up her offering. I'm going to tell you about Castrol Edge. Tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with your Castrol Challenge, with your questions for Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown and leading full synthetic oils. What do you got there, Max Pata?
He changed his name again on Instagram. Wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Adam, have you ever regretted selling a car? Would imagine there are a few you miss.
I mostly, just because of my wiring, I have ones that I wanted that I didn't get and that are now sort of way out of
reach. Most of the cars I've sold, I've just sold to buy other cars. So it's going to happen. It's like saying, I live in a $100,000 house. I'd like to live in a $150,000 house. So you sell your $100,000 house and you buy your $150,000 house. And then 10 years goes by and someone goes, you know that $100,000 house you sold?
Right.
That's worth $200 now.
Oh, geez.
Which is true, but you go, but the $150,000 house is worth $300 now, and that's sort of how the game played. Now, with your rules of I can just buy as many houses and cars and everything as I want, never have to sell another one, then you're right. I would hang
like
my head.
All the houses.
But if I live in a world where money just doesn't rain down from the heavens like manna, and you have to make some moves, then it becomes a kind of a gin rummy thing, which is like, well, what do I discard and what do I collect?
Yeah.
And what do I focus on? And there are a few cool cars that I miss. And, you know, but they're like my children. They're up for sale. Mm.
For better children. More expensive children.
Mm. I'm not selling. I've stopped selling cars. I stopped driving my little Toyota FJ Cruiser. I found out it was going up in value. I saved it. Got a truck in its place. My vet, they're not even making vets anymore with standard transmission. So that car is going to have to be. And I still wish I had my 65 vet convertible. I wish I had my 78. I wish I had them all. And I don't. That's why I'm not selling cars anymore. I'm only buying.
The great Vinny Tortorich. And there you go. Casserole Edge. And you can send us your challenge questions at hashtag Casserole Challenge. All right. We're warming up some stuff. Oh, Max Zapata had a car come in an hour ago. I'll grab my phone. Talk to you about that in a second. We're going to take a break. Gina's warming up and warming down. Eat Your Feelings, our long snapping guests are here. I got a lot of thoughts about long snapping. Actually, can I say this? I'm going to say this. You and Vinny, we don't need Gina for this. Vinny and Brian will weigh in. But this is a metaphor for life, which is, I told my son yesterday, actually a couple days ago, we're in the kitchen, and I've seen him pick up the bat and play at Kimmel did a father-son Father's Day, you know, softball game, get the go down to UCLA and play in the girls' softball field. It's lots of fun. Jimmy couldn't attend because he was essentially at home in traction because he played, what's his name, at basketball. And
Huey Lewis?
No. Senator.
Oh, it's our Cruz.
Ted Cruz. He played Ted Cruz in basketball. He literally couldn't move the next day. So he wasn't there. He wasn't there. But I was there and I was having fun. And Sonny, who hates baseball, he hates baseball and he hates soccer. And I think he's just saying that to make me happy. But he hates baseball and he hates soccer and he thinks it's super boring and he loves basketball and he loves football. And so it's like time for him to hit. And he swings a pretty good bat,
right?
And he throws the ball pretty well, but he never plays and he never does it and he's not interested in it. And I hearken back to when the great Tom Lasorda told me he could have made me a big leaguer back in the day. I didn't like baseball. I liked football, but it was stupid of me to focus on football with my build and my frame. I'm never going to get to the next level in football. I could have got to the next level in baseball, but I didn't want to play baseball. So I said to Sonny the other day, you should focus on baseball. You should try baseball. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at me. You're not going to be a forward at the college level in basketball. Right. You're not even playing tackle football. You're playing flag football with the coaches in the field.
Jesus.
But you could play baseball. I think you have the coordination, the physical tools, and I can help you with that. And he's like, man, boring. And he went to the next room and played Fortnite. So,
which you can't get a scholarship for.
Right. So maybe that'll be it.
Avenue.
But I want to say this about long snapping. Long snapping doesn't have, you're not going to get laid being good at long snapping. And there's not a lot of prestige to it, but you may make it onto a college team and you may make it into the pros and you may hang around and get paid for 14 years as a long snapper.
You might make $2.5 million.
Yeah.
Right. So all the people listening who are thinking, I'm 15, fuck it, I want to be quarterback. You're not going to be quarterback at UCLA.
Field. It's a crowded field.
Start focusing on something you can do. And I think, and we'll talk to our guests about it, but I think you can teach people long snapping, whereas it's kind of hard to teach people quarterbacking. Mm-hmm. You can get better.
It's incredibly hard.
But you cannot. You either got that arm or you don't got that arm.
Instincts, yeah.
And when it comes to any skilled position, either you have that speed or you don't have that speed. We can tell you how to run a route, but you're not going to the next level.
I don't know if you remember. I rarely talk about it. For 2 years, I was a special teams coach for high school. I coached special teams in high school.
So this again.
I know a little bit about it. But to your point, there was a kid. I forget his name, but he was. He had really... really above average ability as a punter. Like, he could boom the ball. And I remember saying, like, hey, man, you should, like, go to a camp or something and, like, really develop these skills. But he wanted to be a receiver. And he was a slightly above average receiver. But it's like, hey, man, you have exceptional ability in this area. And it wasn't interesting to him. You know, he wanted to
right.
play wide receiver.
Yeah, I think...
I remember him, he was white.
By the way, I think some of this is a byproduct, whether it's this kid or my son, of, look, I'll just wait for you to keel over and I'll just sell all your Newman cars, so I don't really worry about the free ride to college.
It was Harvard Westlake, so it could have been.
Just a little more practical advice for those of us who grew up a little more desperate
right.
on the wrong side
of the
tracks.
Does he really hate baseball, though?
He hates baseball.
I understand not loving it.
Oh, Vinny, you know what it is? His dad's Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You've met.
I like baseball. I like playing baseball. I don't like watching it.
I love watching it. I love playing it.
He doesn't like any part of it. But he hates soccer. That's the real good
news. That's why he can stay.
All right. We'll take a quickie break. We'll come back with Eat Your Feelings right after this.
Hey, this is Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
And Lynette Carolla.
And we're For Crying Out Loud. Listen to our show because there's lots of swearing.
Mm-hmm, lots of stories.
Lots of personal information
that you don't really need to know, but we tell you anyway.
Yeah.
So check us out on iTunes and Podcast One.
For Crying Out Loud with Lynette Carolla and Stephanie Wilder Taylor every Tuesday and Friday at Carolla Digital, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns. Literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey guys, hey Adam, I've always noticed that when you play old clips from Loveline and stuff, your voice sounds so different than it does now. Do you think that's just the microphones and stuff? Or has your voice changed over the years, do you think? Thanks, bye.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah.
You sound a lot more like that guy.
It all sounds that way. All the old recordings. Dawson probably tell you why, but
a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're low resolution MP3s, and they add a lot of hiss. But this is kind of a serious question. I am curious if your voice has changed over the years. I think it may have.
You're an alcoholic.
It always. I mean,
seriously, you are an alcoholic.
I think it's safe to say if a guy sounds one way at 18, and that same guy. If you got hold of him at 78,
this flies this falls on its face because Drew sounds exactly the same in the clips.
Oh, does he?
All right, doesn't
I think
he?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard versions.
Don't blame it on the MP3s.
Where I sound like sped up or higher register. No, I guess you have to find it.
It's definitely a part of the MP3 when you have
and also he doesn't talk during the collapse.
The high end really gets in there, and it does affect you more than others.
Well, here's what I would say. If in you took the same chap and you recorded him at 18 and then you recorded him at 78 years of age, mm-hmm. you would say, oh, there's a difference in what his voice sounds like. So I think it's...
Absolutely.
So we can establish that as you go right. through life, male and female...
But the same amount of time as password.
No, to be fair, Adam hit puberty around 1991.
That's true, actually. That's actually true.
No. You should hear me on the Corolla show from 2006. I sound worlds different.
Like a little schoolgirl.
Maybe you found your voice more. As you know, that was early on, right?
Well... Brian, I hate to crapping on my point, but what I'm saying is your voice will change as the years go on. That much we've established. Now, what we have to establish is how much will it change.
I think what Brian was saying, though, is it's not the microphone, like the theory.
I'm not saying it's the mic.
Or the file quality, the audio quality.
Oh, the audio quality does make me sound like a higher register. That's for sure. And then we'd have to listen to Drew from then and Drew now. And see if there is. Also, one of the things I guess you could factor in is Drew was a little older than me. Mm. I started younger at like 31. Maybe my man voice wasn't locked off.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a combination of my voice changing, but it's also when I hear them, I go, oh, that sounds weird. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, yeah, it's compressed a little differently. But like when I watch The Man Show too, your voice sounds a lot different in that as well.
It does?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we have to find that out.
I found a clip of Dawson from 2006. I'll see if his voice has actually changed.
How about you leave the joking to Adam?
I got it. Wow. It's completely
very different. It's very different.
Wow. I'll take it back. At Dawson, it's 100% different.
Yeah. Now, also, I think, Max Zapata, if you want to do an apples to apples. Or it's never going to be apples to apples because the equipment or lav mic or whatever it is. But if you have me reading cue cards, it's not going to be the same as me bloviating about attack crows.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So we have to kind of find the same energy or the same whatever. But I don't know. Find some old love line with me and Drew and let's see what Drew sounds like. And I agree with that general premise that my voice sounds... More different than Drew's. Drew was older, but we need to hear Drew now and Drew then and see what that sounds
like.
You've
also done in those ensuing whatever it's been 2 decades plus. You've done a lot more yelling on stage and everywhere than Drew is measured. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
A lot more
I've done
damage.
A lot more yelling on stage.
You're the Axl Rose of the group. You get the range.
I was yelling at Max Zapata not even on stage an hour and a half ago. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't about you. It was about Joan Jett.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Now my voice is going out just talking about it. All right, what do we got?
All right, we got some good food today. Now, I didn't realize this was the last of the year, so
Do we have an opening?
We sure do. I didn't make it holiday themed, but hopefully you'd be happy serving this at your Christmas party.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga.
She could not stop eating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night. And ever since then, her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating.
You guys are digging in. That's great.
Smells amazing.
Oh, good. So I kind of had to stay away from Mexican food in general because it's all grain with it. It's the chips with everything. It's rice, it's beans, it's corn. So I just kind of don't eat Mexican anymore. And I love Mexican. The other night I was like, no, screw that. I want something with a little bit of a Mexican flair. So I found this awesome recipe from the stay-at-home chef, which is an ancho chili Mexican spiced chicken thigh. And I think I know what she would consider her secret for this recipe, and I love it. I also made some fajita vegetables. That doesn't just mean sautéing some peppers and onions in a pan, by the way.
Which you could have done.
Which I could have done, but I didn't. But for the chicken, really easy. I'm sorry. Very difficult.
Thank you.
Laborious.
You take a bunch of different spices. There's cumin. I used ancho chili pepper, you know, salt, a little ground clove. You just mix it all together.
Is it a pressure cooker? Or a
no.
Instapot?
No. I just did it all in the oven. Wow. And sprinkle some lime, fresh lime juice on each thigh, spread the seasoning out nicely, and put a pat of butter on top of each thigh. So when you're baking in the oven for about 45 minutes on 425, it gets nice and crispy, and it has that nice sort of fatty flavor.
That'll work in the bedroom as well, baby.
So while that was baking, I decided to make some nice fajita vegetables. And again, not just a little salt and pepper and Bob's your uncle. I found a great veggie fajita recipe with smoked paprika, with lots of cumin, with lots of garlic, and was really liberal with those seasonings. I made sure there was a nice char on the peppers and onions.
The veggies sing.
Oh, good. Thank you, because it didn't have enough char for my liking when I used the iron skillet, so I stuck it in the broiler. Just because I really wanted that skin to be nice and charred.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nice. But you got to be very careful with that. Very easy to set your food on fire. So I wanted to go Mexican, and I think this would be a lovely little holiday dinner if that's something you wanted to do.
Feliz Navidad.
Gina, can I say this?
Sure.
I'm not a boob man, but I would marry you based on this dish.
Yeah. I'm kind of an asshole sphincter man myself. I mean, with an emphasis. I mean, my...
Right.
So I guess
I'm a rectum colon guy myself.
Yeah, I mean, I would say my major would be asses with a sphincter
with a concentration.
Emphasis.
Yeah.
But I would marry you as well.
That's very nice.
This is delicious. I had the exact same thing. I went out Sunday, got some Mexican food with Sonny. Always. Inevitably bring home the doggy bag, and then of course trying to keep get back on the highway in the middle of the week, and I'm just staring at rice and beans and tortillas, and I'm like, I want it all. But the thing that's a little frustrating about this world we're living in is I get the pasta, and I don't need the bran muffins, the big puffy bran muffins. I can do without, but the beans. That angers me a little bit. I would think the beans would be better or okay. Are the beans, Vinny? Here's a challenge for you.
Go on.
The answer cannot be none of the above. I would assume you would prefer your clients eat 4 ounces of refried beans versus 4 ounces of Spanish rice, or am I wrong in that?
Given those two?
Always given the two that I give.
Yeah.
There's not another one that says jicama that someone else eats.
Raw kale.
Raw kale that somebody else eats.
I might even go Spanish rice. I mean, now if you said the black beans versus the Spanish rice, I'd go with the black beans. But when you turn it into baby food, you're just...
So if one is going Mexican food... I'll bring it back. One's going Mexican food. They oftentimes give you a choice. You want the whole bean or the black bean or the whatever bean, or do you want the refried beans? You go with the black beans.
Go with the black beans if you're going to scoop a few on.
I'm guessing the Spanish rice or any kind of rice is just the rice. Now the corn tortilla versus the flour tortilla.
I would have to say the corn is better. I'm not giving it.
Well, but people are going to go out. They're going to eat Mexican, and it might be a coin toss. So if they're going to toss the coin, let's go for corn.
And by the way, this is an N1 experiment. If I had wheat over corn, wheat will fuck me up. Inflammation and everything else. And wheat is just way worse than corn.
All right. So get the whole beans or pinto beans and get the corn. Mm-hmm. First off, don't do it, but inevitably, when you do it, go with that.
Obviously, this is not an option if you're going out, but if you're staying at home, Vinny, Christie's recently fallen in love with coconut flour tortillas, which I have to assume are much more on the
NFL. So much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good.
It does not taste like coconut.
No, it does not. It tastes like a less doughy, less fluffy.
It's actually pretty good. Gina, do you mess around with that medium of coconut?
I do.
Flour and all
I do,
that?
Yeah. Coconut flour, almond meal, absolutely.
Because Anna can make that stuff taste, she can make pizzas and all that taste like a pizza.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's a lot of work.
Pizza crusts are a lot of work, actually.
Glorious.
And I was going to do it, but I got scared. So I'm glad you guys like this. It really quenches that sort of craving for Mexican food. And it is up now, adamcarolla.com. Just click on posts, click on Eat Your Feelings, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Eat your feelings. Do some healthy eating.
And a quick addendum for everyone over 9. Corn tortillas are better than flour tortillas. Now, if you're eating a burrito, that's a flour tortilla. But when you're getting the fajitas, get the goddamn corn. It's what you should be eating.
Street tacos.
It's one of those. Yeah, thank you. All right. Let me tell you. Thank you, Gina Grad. Mm-hmm. Delectable. Tell you about Simply Safe. Thinking about getting Simply Safe, two eyes in there, but waiting for the holidays and all the tech deals to come out. Good. Now we're there. We're at the holidays. It's time to get Simply Safe. You're going to get some cool gadgets this year. You want to protect them with Simply Safe. It's simplysafe.com/M. They have an amazing holiday offer. It's a great deal. And it's just for my listeners. Who are you? Simply Safe, great protection for your home and family. No contracts, no hidden fees. Great reviews from CNET, PC Mag, and Wirecutter as well. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get the great offer. Make sure you use that URL because it helps the show. That's Simply Safe, two eyes in there, .com/Adam. The offer is going to end soon. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years, up and running in under an hour. Do what we've all done here with Simply Safe. Okay, Vinny Tortorich, everyone. We'll look out for the doc. We'll keep that on our calendars. Fatdocumentary.com is where you can go.
To tie it all together, Peter Pardini, the guy who's you're working with, directed a documentary about Chicago.
He sure did.
Exactly. That's why I was with Lee, and he and Lee were on the show together. And we sound mixed the whole thing in Lee's studio. In Sedona.
What did we talk about? Relationships, right? There you go, people.
I met Peter here, right in his
chair.
On
his way out, when you were on your way in, yeah.
And I got a nice bottle of scotch for the trouble.
Yep.
The vitamins, purevitaminclub.com. I start my day with these things every morning. And I got to tell you, man, where I am in La Cañada, it's dipping into the 30s, maybe low 40s at night. The pool plunge in the morning, it's getting brutal, man. And I'm now throwing myself in. No more lowering. I'm throwing myself in. All right. And then I get out and I have some of Vinny's vitamins. So God bless you for that.
Thank you.
We'll bring out Chris Rubio and Chris Saylor. These guys are experts, kickers, long snappers. They run a camp. Interesting stuff. We'll do that right after this.